Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, folks. Welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. This evening, coming to you March 4th, 2018, from Central California in the San Joaquin Valley, here from the Imperial Room. Tonight's subject, ladies and gentlemen, is Robeson, Disney, and Hollywood. And what I'm going to do here, ladies and gentlemen, and to start our show off here, is that we're going to talk about a little bit briefly a gentleman by the name of Paul Leroy Robeson. He was born April 9th, 1898, transitioned January 23rd, 1976. He was a black American-based baritone singer and actor who became involved with the civil rights movement. Now, at Rutgers College, he was a football player, and then he had an international career in singing as well as acting in theaters and movies. He became politically involved in response to the Spanish Civil War, fascism, and social injustices. His advocacy of anti-imperialism, official affiliation with communism and criticism of the U.S. government caused him to be blacklisted during the McCarthy era, which I believe was in the late 1940s and early 1950s. In 1915, Mr. Robeson won an academic scholarship to Rutgers College, where he was twice named a consensus All-American athlete and was the class valedictorian. Almost 8 years later, he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. He received his law degree from Columbia Law School while playing in the National Football League. Columbia, he sang and acted in off-campus productions after graduating, he became a figure in the Harlem Renaissances with performances in The Emperor Jones and All God's Children Got Wings. Between 1925 and 1961, Mr. Robeson recorded and released some 276 distinct songs, many of which were recorded several times. The first of these were the spiritual Steal Away, backed with You, Were You There, in 1925. Robeson recorded repertoire spanned many styles, including Americana, popular standards, classic music, European folk songs, political songs, poetry, and spoken excerpts from plays. Robeson's politics did not prevent him from singing some songs that would subsequently be considered to have a racist language or sentiment, such as The Little Pickaninny's Gone to Sleep in 1928 and Old Folks at Home in 1930. Robeson first appeared outside the United States in 1928 in the London premiere of Showboat, settling in London for several years with his wife, Essie. Robeson next appeared as Othello in London before gaining international renown as an actor in Showboat and Sanders of the River. He became increasingly in tune to the sufferings of people of other cultures. He advocated for Republican forces during the Spanish Civil War. He then became active in the Council of African Affairs. During World War II, he supported America's war efforts. However, his history of supporting pro-Soviet policies brought scrutiny from the FBI, and after the war ended, the Council on African Affairs was placed on the Attorney General's list of subversive organizations, and Robeson was investigated during the McCarthyism era. Due to his decision not to recant his public advocacy of pro-Soviet policies, he was denied a passport by the United States State Department, and his income consequently plummeted. He moved to Harlem and published a periodical critical of United States policies. His right to travel was eventually restored by the 1958 United States Supreme Court decision, Kent versus Dulles. In the early 1960s, he retired and living the remaining years of his life privately in Philadelphia. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I see we got our callers here giving us a call here at area code 646-564-9630. Okay, we're going to press 1 to speak live on the air, and we got our first caller here calling out of the 410 area code with the last 45463. Good evening to you, brother, and how you doing?
Hey, what's up, brother? Before I say it, what it do?
All right, brother. All right, everything is good. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're having a great show tonight. You know, first we're talking about, you know, Paul Robeson, then we're going to be talking about Walt Disney, and we're going to be talking about early Hollywood, and also, too, dealing, you know, with the Jigaboo movies, as they used to say, you know, during the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, and this is where your boy Walt Disney, you know, comes in at. So therefore, we spoke briefly, ladies and gentlemen, about Mr. Robeson right there. Now, also to Hollywood itself, as we all know, it started out there about 1912 in Southern California, and I believe one of the first major movie productions that they had companies out there was Paramount, Universal Studios, and MGM. Warner Brothers, MGM, I think, came about a little bit later after that. And MGM, you know, they did their share, you know, of the Jigaboo movies as well, too. Because MGM, you know, they the one that brought you that film, the first one made in color, I think, called Gone with the Wind. And it's talking about the end of the Civil War. And glad you brought that up, because there's a famous line in there, or not a famous line, but a quote of Clark Gable that he makes to Vivian Lee, who was fleeing from the Union soldiers when Atlanta was burning, and he made this statement to her, is that you're out here with an old man, a broken down wagon, and a simple-minded darky, referring to her slave that she was having with her. Also, too, I'm going to bring in to another caller, too, there, Brother Isaiah. Hold on, and we'll get our conversation going on. And this here is our caller calling in from area code 240 with the last 42537. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. How's everybody?
The queen of the house.
Hanging in. Yeah, that's right. So tonight, you know, we're discussing Paul Rowe.
So tell me a little bit about him. Where was he from, Shabaka? I'm not
Paul
familiar
Robeson.
With him.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Paul Robeson was born in Princeton, New Jersey, in 1898.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And then also, too, if you look at some of the early films that they had out of Hollywood, which would be, it's like the 1920s, the 1930s, and the 1940s. Mr. Robeson did a film there called Emperor Jones, and he was also a stage actor that portrayed Othello, too. And then, as you know, he had had problems because of the comments that he had made, you know, regarding, you know, due to the lynchings and the racism, you know, that was going on real heavily in the United States at that time. And then also,
was he born into slavery?
No, I'm sorry, ma'am, say that again.
Was he born into slavery?
No, ma'am, he was born in 1898. Officially, supposedly, slavery had ended in 1865. So he was born about 30 years, a little bit more than 30 years at the end of slavery and what have you. And then also, too, he was a stage actor. And then also, too, on my other research of Mr. Ropes, and he did, you know, comment of the negative film images that they did have of blacks at that time. You see what I mean? Skinning and grinning, you know what I'm saying? Eating watermelon, derogatory imagery, and stuff like this right here. In addition to, they want to talk about here Walt Disney and whatnot. Yeah, Walt Disney, the same cat that brought you Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, and Goofy, and all them other crazy ass souls that's coming about there out of Disneyland and what have you. See what I mean? He had a lot of negative black imagery in his work as well, too. You see? But however, you know, as I stated, you know, in the text for the press for tonight's episode here, ladies and gentlemen, entitled Ropes and Disney in Hollywood, is that we're looking at the negative image that they did of blacks. And we're also going to be speaking, you know, toward the end of our podcast tonight, you know, of all the money that the motion picture, that Black Panther has been making. And what you do know, ladies and gentlemen, that is brought to you by Disney Productions and whatnot, the same ones that own Disney World, the same ones that own Euro Disney, the same ones that own Disneyland, the same one that own Disney Studios, the same one, you know, for your old
so-and-so
such as me. You remember the 1960s when they used to have, you know, Disney Sunday night movie. You see what I mean? So Walt Disney and Mickey Mouse and them goofy so-and-sos over there, and Daffy Duck and Donald Duck and all of them, you know, them is perhaps one of the world's greatest, biggest movers and shakers on the whole world, on the geopolitical economic structure. But, however, there are those actors that did try to set positive imagery, and you did have a series of black movie makers that did try to show the quality, you know, and the good qualities and the good side of black life as well, too. One of them was a film made called Sounder, starring Miss Cicely Tyson and
Paul Winfield. And that day was very, very good picture. But at that same time in history of the early 1970s, now, this here might be a little bit before your time there, Brother Isaiah, you know, but I'm carrying on down as I remembered it from then, you know, down to the next generation. This is when they started making, you know, all these super Negro movies like Shaft, Coffee, Superfly, Idolizing Pimps, Drug Dealers, Dope Dealers, and all that old type of garbage. You see what I mean? And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is rated PG, so we do have it going on here, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. Sometimes our episodes are uncensored. This is not one of them because, you know, we do have young people listen to us and parents and what have you. So, of course, we try to set a good example. But, however, we do announce here at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced is that when we have a show uncensored, just about anything can happen, and that's what it's about, is the Black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Now, also, too, you had movie actors like Ozzie Davis, Ruby Dee, Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte at that time, Dorothy Dangerous, where was that there, the 40s and the 50s. Yeah. And a lot of Black actors that did make it out there, you know, to do work in Hollywood, you know, were also stage actors there in New York City. And a lot of them got their careers started or put some work in at the Apollo Theater. You see what I mean? And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, to keep in mind that during the late 1800s, at the tail end of the 19th century, from research that we have done, is that that part of California, which was a great big ranch, was owned by a Black woman. And, well, we know that, but we would have more information on our post about it. Yeah, because it was a great. Okay, something about that. After the Mexican-American War, there's a landmark there in an area called North Hollywood is where they signed the peace treaty in 1847, ending the Mexican-American War. And that's how California, you know, had started its process of getting off into the United States, you see. So then they had what they called the Spanish land grants. And if anybody has knowledge on this, and all our scholars are always welcome to definitely give us a call here at area code 646-564-9630. Press 1, speak live on the air. And there's a lot of history on that, and people were getting a lot of ranch land there, you know, doing the gold rush into to California. But we're going to be doing a show on that there in the future as well, too, of Southern California's Black history in depth. But eventually all that area, Hollywood, North Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Pacific Palisades, Brentwood, whatnot, you see, all of that, it was all part of the area, you know, of which she owned. But Hollywood had evolved, like I said, started about 1912, 1915, just when, you know, the motion picture was coming in to play there. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then also, too, I see we got a caller here calling in from area code 716-9-4-9-7-5-0. We're going to bring you on the air live here. Please tell us where you're calling from and what's your name and what's your comments, questions, or concern tonight.
You on the air.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Greetings, brother. Who's this here calling?
This is Mr. Morris.
Hey, how you doing there, Mr. Morris? Yeah, thank you so very, very much for calling in, man. You know, so, we're talking briefly here about early Hollywood, and basically what the crux of tonight's discussion is going to be is because I saw that the film Black Panther on the gross sales, from what I understand, coming out of Hollywood is at $800 million now, and it's been out less than 10 days. So that there is going to be about cracking $1 billion very, very shortly. And it's quite interesting of that the spending power that we have right there, of how we went and put it back off in Walt Disney's pocket, who 50-60 years ago was making these derogatory imagery of us, and then it's very interesting now, from what I understand, because you know, I haven't seen the film yet, but it's supposed to be setting a positive image and whatnot. Then that there was some subliminal mentioning, you know, about the crew out of the Bay Area there in 1966. Could you give us some you know, some insight on that there, Mr. Morris?
Well, I don't really want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen the movie yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
Go ahead and spoil it, baby. It don't mean nothing to me. Go ahead and spoil it.
I have tagged you in on my other page, my unofficial Back to Basics page.
Yes, sir.
Someone put a link there where you can download the movie for free.
Right. Oh, really?
Oh,
okay.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That came from a guy in the Philippines, I think. He put that on there.
Oh,
yeah, but,
sound like, you know, a hacker job right there. Oh, yes.
A lot of this movie is a very positive movie for us to be seeing. Something that we really need to take our kids to see this movie
there
and let them
go.
See it.
That's
okay,
what
that's
about.
What I heard.
All right.
Okay. It's a reinforcement of Black pride, Black unity.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Love it.
And just it gives you real. Thoughts makes you think what Africa could have been like if the white man had never showed up.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah, come on. Bring with it.
Okay. It's really pushing the thing I like most is about our Black women. To be more secure in yourself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The way you look, the way your hair. You know, stop buying into this this white man straight bullshit. You know, be yourself.
Right.
And like I posted online on Facebook, and I shouldn't have, but I did post it. I love the parts where they talk to their ancestors. Okay.
Do it. Real good.
There's no false god. No Islamic overtone, no Christianity overtone.
Right.
It's all straight
right.
Africa.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, like,
okay.
Like,
yeah. Now that's heavy right there.
This movie is Black as fuck.
Okay. Good. Because for more. Go ahead, Mr. Morris. Yeah, go ahead.
The only two white people that had any kind of role in this movie ended up dying in the end.
Good.
So,
okay. I wish it was not in the first part, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a phenomenal movie. Matter of fact, I'm going to see it again Tuesday before I go to work.
Really? Okay.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So I look forward to that. Yeah. So definitely don't spoil it.
However,
ladies and gentlemen, I do want to say and appreciate Mr. Morris, you know, definitely his input on that. But if it's that positive and if it's showing the ancestral communion, that is one thing about Shabbat's Black experience enhances what it's about, is because there's the concept of Sankofa. Sankofa, which is that going back to tradition of our ancestors is the first step forward, is when you're going back to past knowledges, and this is what we tried to do here on Shabbat's Black Experience to enhance. And then with me growing up there in Los Angeles, you know, a good portion of my life, this is why I'm giving up the information about the history of Hollywood, the Jigaboo movies, and we all know how racist the LAPD is, and from what I understand is that if the LAPD caught you up there in Hollywood at that time in history and you were Black, man, you know, it might be a distinctive chance you didn't make it to the police station. You know what I mean? Okay. But anyway, getting right along here is because I'm hearing that the graphics of this is real good. And then, too, there was an independent film called Fruitvale station that was made by an up-and-coming movie maker talking about the Oscar Grant story, and we all know about what happened with Mr. Grant on New Year's 2009.
Bit. Give me a little bit of history on that. I don't know.
Mr. Grant? Okay. Yeah. Oscar Grant was shot and killed by the Bay Area Rapid Transit Police Department on January 1st, 2009, on the platform of the Fruitvale BART station, which is in Oakland, California. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very, very huge outcry. He was shot while he was handcuffed. The officer
What was the charge they had him in cuffs for?
Okay, it's New Year's Eve. He's coming back early in the morning celebrating from over in San Francisco. So, of course, up in that part of California, it's its own planet, particularly on New Year's Eve. Expect everybody to be pretty much drunk or in a celebratory mood. So, allegedly, that he had gotten off into a fight. The transit police were called. They went up there, saw Mr. Grant, you know, then they put him on the ground, handcuffed him, had words with him, and then the police officer shot him in the back while he was handcuffed and stated that he thought that he was reaching for his taser to tase him. Now, you already got him. So you already got him handcuffed, laying down on the ground right there. You see what I mean? Then you shoot him. That's special circumstance. You see what I mean? As far as I'm concerned. But, however, the independent filmmaker. No, say that again, Brother Isaiah.
No, you see how they lie trying to put up stories that he had a taser. No, he had no taser. Like he was handcuffed. Like how you
saying? No, sir. The cop said who shot Grant. This is what the cop says. He said that he had reached for his taser and said that he thought that he had his taser, but in actuality he had his 9mm and shot Mr. Grant. With this police officer supposedly to be trained and using these deadly weapons in the performance of his duties, should know or very well should be fully aware of the difference between his firearm and his taser, or otherwise this individual is incompetent and is not qualified to do the job, you see. So I find that, you know, pretty much kind of preposterous and an insult to our intelligence, you know, as human beings, is that you shoot and kill this person with a 9mm, but you sit there and have the audacity to say that you were reaching for your taser. Of course, as we all know, you know, shoots out the electrical bolts. Well, of course it was. This film called Fruitvale Station was made, and the independent film director, who's a young black man, I believe, from Oakland, anybody's welcome to call in and correct me if I'm wrong, okay, was the one who directed this major blockbuster, as they would call it in L.A., breaking all kind of records, called Black Panther. You see, I look forward to seeing.
They wanted our money.
Oh, yeah. That's just it, though.
You know what it is.
Absolutely, sister. That's the point. That's the point of tonight's show. This is exactly the crux of our show tonight is that we went up there, spent $500 million in 3 days, giving it to Walt Disney.
Saying
it's a well-made film and what have you. Like we said, Disney, with them, money is no object when it comes to film production. It's because that's what they specialized in, and that's one of the things that did put Hollywood on the map around the world was Walt Disney. Okay, but now we're just taking subject matter about the most hated, despised people in the United States, you know, who were brought here against their will. Now you're making money up off of them. But go ahead. You was commenting there, Mr. Morris. Go ahead, brother.
You got to think about this, too, in the fact that, they've been making money off of us for over 400 years. You got to look at it like this is nothing new. But this movie here, this Black Panther movie, is really something that could spark unity among our people. Okay?
Okay.
And they did not realize that when they put this movie out. They would have did it like they did Birth of a Nation. Remember how they...
Right, I was going to mention Birth of a Nation. Yeah, please continue, Mr. Morris. And yeah, and I'm going to get on Birth of a Nation, but please continue as what you're saying. Thank you for mentioning Birth of a Nation. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Remember how they did Birth of a Nation? People would go to the movie theaters and they say it was sold out and this and that. They never wanted anybody to watch that movie. All right? Understanding that, I don't understand why they don't want to, didn't want nobody to see it, but yet still they'll let it out on TV, you know, the, on the movie channels and stuff eventually. But they didn't want nobody to make no real money off of that movie. They didn't want it to get out like it did. You know?
Okay, now Mr. Morris, which Birth of a Nation are you talking about? Is because the one that I'm commenting on was a film made in 1915 in Hollywood's early age, of which I was talking about in 1912 when Paramount and Warner Brothers and Universal started out of there, and it was made by, now get this, people, Birth of a Nation in 1915, Birth of a Nation was made by D.W. Griffith, okay? The movie sold all across the nation. It was very, very derogatory imagery of us as a people during a Reconstruction era, showing us, from what I understand, up in the Congress, eating chicken barefooted, looking stupid, looking very, very derogatory. And I think it was one of Hollywood's major films that did put Hollywood on at that time. And this was in the silent movie era, is because, as we all know, the movies had started from the old Nickelodeon machines that they had in New York. But due to the weather, as far as then when they started the actual motion picture, the movie producers had started moving from New York to Los Angeles, putting Hollywood on the map. And do state that Hollywood is a section of the city of Los Angeles and not its own city. But go ahead there, Mr. Morris.
Well, the Birth of a Nation I'm talking about is the story of Nat Turner.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Just okay. Okay. Yeah. Go on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Where, please continue.
He had had enough. He had had enough with the NASA and went on his quest to
free
other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And,
right.
And that's the one they didn't want us to see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And really, they didn't want us. They didn't want us to see this one either, but they couldn't stop it.
Right.
All right, because during this Black Panther movie, there were some people who had gone to the theater and couldn't see it because they said it wasn't showing it or whatever. But I said, they couldn't stop it.
Okay, in other words, so they're trying to suppress it. Okay. All righty. Well, as I said, man, if you ever make a film or write a book, and if you want it to sell good, have it banned, and they're close into $1 billion in sales in less than 10 days, from what I understand, since the film has been released. But from what I understand, the imagery is good, and the cast that you have in there, we'll give them props. Angela Bassett, I believe, is in there. Then also, too, the other brother who's in there, the one who's playing one of the title characters, from what I understand. Then also to the sister Lupita, who played off in the 12 years as a slave. And another thing too that I want to comment on too is that way back in the 1970s, now this is what happens, you know, when you get old, folks. You see, I'm talking about back in my day, back in the 1970s, and this 40 years ago, folks.
40 years.
Okay, now back in the 1970s, in 1976 or 77, there was a guy named Carter that was president, and then there was a dude named Ali who was heavyweight champion of the world. But however, though, but at that time there, in 1976-77, I believe, they had made a miniseries called Root on ABC television, which was telling the story about Alex Haley's roots of about the about his family line, you know, coming from West Africa, surviving the passage and coming up here to the brutal world of colonial America. So back there in the 1940s, and they called this here Great Big Success and all this, and how it's supposed to help race relations and all this old type of Kool-Aid. But at the same token, now we have to look back at that and learn from past mistakes. And what it is currently
ladies and gentlemen, is that we got to take care of ourselves, you know, through our own commercial infrastructures. And from what I understand, the dynamics of this film, Black Panther, is proving that point. And I'm going to see it, but however, it's very, very imperative that our youth, for those after the generations after mine, you see, so they can keep up a positive image and to maintain, you know, our existence on this planet, is because, as is stated, you know, from Malcolm to Mandela, that we declare our right to live on this planet as a human being without being brutalized, I believe, by any means necessary. Yeah, so anybody's welcome to give us a call here, you know, at 646-564-9630. But first, let me give a shout out here, you know, to Liberated Minded Media. Also, too, we want to give a shout out there to United Conscious Minds. Also, too, to Black I Stand Radio. Also, too, a shout out there to New Black Knowledge. Also, too, a shout out there to Do the Knowledge Radio, and definitely there to those over there at Melanated People.net. And I got a page up over there as well. And I'm suggesting that a lot of our people just straight go over there to Melanated.net and don't have to deal, you know, with the hypocrisy that's coming up out of Silicon Valley with its nonsense. Yeah, you see what I mean? And then also, too, and then also, too, folks, is that I want to – no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Don't forget to give that shout-out to South Africa right now, because they damn sure did their thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Get out. Get out, white farmers.
Absolutely, most definitely.
Land is a major. Land is a major factor of production. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to have land, you know, to grow food, agriculture. You got to eat. You see what I'm saying? Oh, okay. Yeah, so most definitely want to give a shout out to them over there as well, too. You know, with their struggles that they've had.
That's a definite offshoot of this Black Panther movie.
All right. Okay, and then also, too, from what I understand that I saw in mainstream media is that they had a commentator who was one of the film critics talking about it, saying that there's some of the lines in the movie and some of the script that's written in the Xhosa language, where they're speaking in the Xhosa language.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's real good. You see, now that there is reconnected. And then also, too, as I stated before, is that I saw a video here up on social media where there was a little child, you know, who was upset crying after seeing the movie Black Panther.
Yeah.
Was upset because he wasn't black. Yeah, this is definitely, now this is a first. Now also, with that, people, just to show you the level of hatred that Hollywood did project of us, there was another film that Hollywood had made in the year 1934, starring an actress by the name of Claudette Colbert, called The Imitation of Life.
This film
was remade in color in the year 1959 by the same name in Hollywood. And then, of course, this here deals with the self-hatred of being black in America. So we have to look at Hollywood as well, too, for sitting up here and perpetuating
that.
You see? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, as we do know, is that in the early parts of Hollywood, when you had the talkies, I believe that they referred to them, that came out in 1929 with a white man by the name of Al Jolson, who used to sit up there wearing blackface and looking like one of the jigaboos there, picking cotton down there on a plantation and all this, you know, singing Mammy and all this old type of bullshit. You see what I mean? And then the cool part about it is, too, ladies and gentlemen, is that they had went through so much to erase a lot of the history out of the school books there for our children currently these days, because this usage of the term, the NGI term, you know, all across the board by all these other, like the rappers and then these young kids, you know, who are not melanated is using this term freely and what have you. You see, so something has got to be checked on that. But then there's a lot of people saying across the net that the imagery, you know, had made us look real good here off in the film here, Black Panther as well, too. But it's very, very important that our youth definitely know the truth and or the history of the real Black Panther Party, too. That was created 50 years, more than 50 years ago, and where they had the impact on history as well, too, with their breakfast programs that they had, that the government took it over and called it WIC and whatnot, also to improve an educational system. And as we have always emphasized here on Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhances, placing the emphasis on homeschooling and getting our children out of this indoctrination of these public indoctrinating systems that or schools, I should say. And the only thing that they're grooming them for is to go from the school to the prison pipeline. And also, too, we got to get them. Yes, ma'am.
Can I also have you, can I remind you what we talked about, how we can start, you know, with the children without worrying about acquiring the funding to actually open buildings, how we can start? We can start at home, at your home, after school, with, like, you know, just teaching the children about their Black history for 1 hour.
Yeah, that's
after work and after school.
Oh, yeah.
We can start that tomorrow with your children. That's a start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most definitely. After that, Umar Johnson debacle, where he wanted that money to open up a school, and from what I understand, he got $1 million and still no school.
Oh, really?
Oh,
right. I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
That's
well,
that criminal
did
stuff.
Any,
that's that criminal
okay,
stuff. We're not worried about that.
Okay, but we're
talking about what we can do.
Preliminary work on the school.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, we need to do it ourselves and don't put it up to nobody like that. All right?
That's what I'm saying. That's why we don't need Disney making movies about our culture right there. Like you said, they're for us to do for our own. Is because, see, all that revenue right there that we as a people went up there and gave to Walt Disney, see, that could have put about 2,000 or 3,000 of our people to work.
Yeah.
And then that there could have been used to acquire some property. And I bet you we could have got at least 3,000 of our homeless people up off the street, particularly there, you know, in the eastern seaboard and have you where the snow is. You see, so therefore we got to improve our values and have our values centered on for ourselves, just like all these other groups of people that when they come here and start businesses here off in a Black community making money up off of us.
Look at what Walt Disney's doing.
Yes, go ahead.
This is the thing with that movie, okay? This movie was not just centralized here in the United States, why it made all this money. It truly went around the world. It's being shown around the world, okay?
Absolutely.
And Blacks around the world are going. It's the one thing that could create unity in our people. This movie, really, right here.
Once
you see it, you understand what I'm saying, okay? It's throwing away everything the white man ever put down in on a book,
okay,
or in try to put in somebody's mind. If you're paying attention, this should start a movement.
We'll see what happens. We'll definitely see what happens. And then also, too, folks, as we're speaking here, is that it's very, very essential to get the Black family unit back in line with the mother, you know, the father and what have you, back off in the home, you know, to keep our young people, you know, to get them on a straight and narrow, because we know what happened with the millennials from the 1980s and 1990s and whatnot. And it's just
my opinion, and do let me say that, but people are welcome to give us a call here at 646-564-9630 and drop knowledge of how we can get our value system back of what we had, you know, like back in the 1970s where you had a lot of the Black Pride movement going on, but what started diluting it is what they had called the disco era. Now, what this is here, too, is like how, you know, the brothers
are
saying.
The white people era. The white people era.
White people
era.
Yes, ma'am.
And disco.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
With the bell bottoms for the men.
We was listening to the funk, okay?
Right.
We was listening to the funk. They were listening to disco. You were listening to funk. George Clinton, okay?
Right.
And them boys there.
Pond the funk,
right.
You know.
They had that disco. We wasn't down with that. We was down with the funk. All right, right here in Buffalo,
yes,
New York. We had Rick James. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. He was from Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick James. But, you know, yeah,
Rick James.
They
had us born in that disco era, and y'all not gonna tell me
right.
No different.
That's why I'm glad you brought up the disco areas, because you see that there is where they started administering the Kool-Aid, is because this
exactly.
Is when you had a lot of these white groups up there playing the black music, and then what they would call it, what it was, a crossover hit. And I think a couple of the groups you had was like the Average White Band, you know, there was one of them, stuff like that. But hold on, we've got another caller here to join in the conversation, okay? Just pause one moment here, folks, okay? You're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and I'm your host, Shabaka Sankara. We got a caller coming in from area code 302. The last four is 1337, okay? Please, where are you calling from? And welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight for our topic of ropes in Disney and Hollywood.
The first date. So white power, say, Delaware. And the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, all that is garbage. I need everybody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I need everybody tonight. What time are you going off, Brother Shabaka?
Okay, tonight we'll be off at 7:30. We got about 45 minutes left in our podcast tonight.
Okay, here's what I need everybody to do. And everybody, top of case of sin, because tonight we're talking about Wakanda, and we got T.T. Rodriguez in our other network. We'll be on until 12 a.m. East Coast time, and we're going to talk about the sexual revolution when y'all get in, not before.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, y'all talking about the Black Panther. We got white Black Panthers who will destroy Uncle Sam. And we don't have to fire a shot. Those African and indigenous nationalists in this country, and fuck Omar Johnson, I put him in political exile. The real conscious stripper is Greene Newsom in South Carolina, who climbed up the stripper pole and stripped the Confederate flag. And Sandra Bland and her mother represents the red, white, and blue, like Colin Kaepernick. The red, black, and green under the matriarch is taking over everything in 2018. And I'm going to prove what I'm saying, because we got I'm the host tonight, but I had to break away to get in with y'all while our central committee is taking over. And we got T.T. Rodriguez from Kenya, facing Mount Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
There was a meteor that hit Mount Kenya, and it was called Wakanda. All that information right now. That was before Huey Newton and Bobby Seale. But we the real superheroes. That's number one. But I need y'all to just take this number. And when you go off, everybody, call this number. And once you get in, push one. And the number is 515-605-9783. I'm Mandelicon, the leader, the son of the matriarch of the Pan-African Intelligence Network. And I got the High Priestess and the Winnie Mandela and Michelle Obama. She's Theta Beta. I also have the Oprah Winfrey, that's Chi-Chi Rodriguez. And I'm talking in Democrat-Republican terms because we like black women over here. But I'm telling you that Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, or Oprah is a fraud.
Okay. Can I have that number again, please, sir?
515-605-9783.
Uh-huh.
They own 7 nights a week. But this is Payne, and Mom hosted tonight. And unless the mothers have control of Talk Real Solutions and they got an overtime that go until the wee hours of the morning, you'll get that number later on. Y'all chime in. But they are 7 nights a week. And
okay.
I'm well over there tonight. And they are cops and veterans. And the spook sat beside the door in Chicago. Chicago is very important because they kill each other in Chicago. But every veteran and cop who's with Uncle Sam, the red, white, and blue, you are the Black Plus Klan because the spook that sat beside the door, the FBI agent,
baby,
he told all
that.
The young people in Chicago how to fight the American government. The spook that sat
beside the door. I saw the film. It was starring a brother by the name of Lawrence Cook. Yeah, I mentioned that film on here. The name of the film was called The Spook Who Sat by the Door. And it starred a film where the main character was a brother by the name of Lawrence Cook. And he had played the character on the radio there that they referred to as Uncle Tom. But you're right, Mandela Khan. He was definitely putting off some work off in that. You know what I'm saying?
Was in the United States government military for 12 years. And every black woman, black man, they're getting different shots than the white people in the military. Every black woman, her uterus, she can't have no child if she go in the military for 4, 8, or 12 years. They put a different shot in the black woman than the shot they put in the white woman. And
what
I see.
What is this shot?
I can't explain the mother. It's the germ biological chemical warfare.
Is it a vaccine? A vaccination?
Yes,
what is it?
You got to take a whole lot of shots.
Inoculations.
Oh,
yeah, it's inoculations. Yeah, when you go off in the military, service for the U.S. government, they give you a bunch of inoculations for, because you're traveling all parts of the world.
And the black women are sneaking in, you know, these
illegal and these harmful additives, you know, to these vaccines and whatnot.
Yes,
and then there was a video that Black Eye Stand Radio had shared by a guy by the name of Mike Adams, who explains it and break it down to you. The same thing with the GMOs as well, too. And this is what we had emphasized on our last show here for Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on agriculture, Hollywood, and garbage. You see what I mean? It's because like what you
I'm
got
done.
Going up here.
Hey, don't be done.
Like
don't be done. Don't be done because here's what we got. Listen to this.
Well, baby. No,
Marvin Garvey.
Marvin
Garvey said, listen to this quickly. I got to go because I'm hosting the show. I got to go. I'm hosting the show.
Go on, Mr. Mandela.
I gotta
come on with you, okay? And then we're going to turn it back over to
Sister the red, black, just for a time like this, Marcus Garvey bought the red, black, and green. When we saw from Reconstruction, we didn't get the 40 acres and the moon of the reparations. Marcus Garvey bought the red, black, and green. To overturn the symbol of the Confederate flag and the red, white, and blue. I got white revolutionaries.
Okay.
I got white Confederate flag people on my program waiting on y'all. White revolutionaries. They will kill Uncle Sam if I tell them to. But I can't do it because it's not my authority. No white man or black man has the power or authority to authorize rape and wars ever again. No pussy is to be sold, raped, or stole, even if she's a crack mother, prostitute, stripper. And Bree Newsom, not Tim Ringo of Umar Johnson. Umar is a goddamn criminal just like Kim. Kim don't know nothing about black power or liberation. And Bree Newsom did. That's why she snatched the symbol of the Confederate flag. And that's why Sandra Bland, who represents the red, white, blue, and Colin Kaepernick, my people represent the red, black, and green. Don't y'all see in social media, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, that this thing called Video Namaste Hotep and Ashe, that this thing called the Ankh, that this thing called social media is being sold in social media. You won't see what I'm telling you on FCC radio and TV. I'm telling you, we're remembering. That's why the black mothers, prostitutes, and strippers, every man wants to get with her. And if you look at Mardi Gras and Carnival, there's not a festival one day where white women, people come all over the world to watch white women twerk or shake their ass. But if you go to Carnival, if you go to New Orleans, anywhere, black women are the most greatest motherfucking features of life on the planet.
Mr. Mandela Kine. Hey, sir. Tonight, man, our show is PG, man. It's not on censor tonight, brother. So we got to kind of got to keep the pipe down on the language a little bit.
Yeah,
I tell you what, however, we get where you're coming from.
I love you. Because they want to censor how we cuss and
well,
say
brother,
the end
of it. One thing you said that
they
I like for the fact that
right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying on air, people, they censor all this stuff. Just,
yeah,
I
they
mean,
censor everywhere.
Y'all come over, right? I gotta go, 'cause they waiting on me to get me. I gotta go. Okay, Mr. Mandela Khan, we'll check you out. All right, much love, much respect.
You too.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Nice. Okay, Mr. Mandela Khan, I appreciate you. Okay, but getting back here, you know, continuing our conversation, though, but she's making a lot of sense right there. But however, all the opinions that are expressed by our guests are their opinions and their views, you know
well,
what I'm saying? But they're more than welcome, you know, to come here to
he
talk about black experience in hands. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
He's right on the money because these white people are going to tear this motherfucker up. I'm gonna say it right here, tear it up when they take away them food stamps, what most white people get.
Oh yeah.
And start giving them.
Oh yes, sir. Absolutely. Oh yeah. Oh, hey, Mr. Morris, you're going to have a whole lot of starving California Golden State rednecks out here, man, when that dick is cut. And then this dude is talking about taking away food stamps and sending everybody a box lunch. And he's going to send everybody a box lunch, you know, experimental shit filled up with GMOs, stuff that's not fit for a dog. But I bet you the dump ain't going to eat it. I bet you the dump won't eat it. I mean,
of course they're going to eat it because they planted it with shit to kill everybody in them boxes.
Hey, exactly.
Come on, definitely. And then
these propaganda machines that they got going on here, you know, like with social media, Hollywood, and
it's
bullshit.
It's
you see what I'm saying?
Us.
You know.
Wait,
well, that's what the social media is, but also too, but the imagery. And this is what I appreciate the feedback that Mr. Morris has given us, you know, on this film, Black Panther, because I'm yet to see it. But, you know, but like I said, we don't want to spoil the plot for nobody. But the irony of the situation is that it's made by, you know, one of the biggest perpetrators of racism in its cartoons and films during its existence. And I'm talking about Walt Disney. Now, check this out, people. There's a film that they made called Song of the South where they got this old brain dead Negro by the name of Uncle Remus who sits up there and says, zippity doo da, zippity da. I got plenty of nothing that's point on for me. And then also, two people that do. Let us announce here on Shabaka's Black Experiences that we was going to start the pilot episode of our new series that we'll be having for an hour once a week called Resurrection of the Mental Dead. And that show is right there for our scholars to call in, our knowledgeable ones to come in and simply drop knowledge that goes against the popular version of this lie, what they try to perpetuate to us as truth. So that there's definitely going to be a resurrection of the mental dead. Check out the hashtag that was created, resurrection of the mental dead, by the same name as well, too. So we're going to asking the people to go to our like page on Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced. Hit our like page and message us, which would be a good day of the week for you, you know, to listen to, call in with your input, what have you. Most definitely, folks, please share our number and please share our episodes and our archives and our back app episodes as well, too, so we can get the word out right there. Then also, too, we have advertising packages available, too, you know, for your entrepreneurs out there who would like for us to mention, you know, your products or what you got going on in the community. Definitely send us there a message to our like page inbox, Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced, and tell us that you're interested in having us do some advertisement for your business, for your venture or your cause or what you got going on in the community, and we'll be happy to correspond with you, you know, our price rates on that. But, however, another film about Walt Disney is because, please correct me if I'm wrong, Sister DeMacy, didn't they make some episodes about that guy named Mark Twain who used to write them books like Huckleberry Finn and Uncle Tom's Cabin and all that ass scratching the ass of Boston shit?
Right.
Yes, it is, because Walt Disney. Because Mark Twain, as you know, he came through here, California, went up north there to a place called Calaveras County, talking about the jumping frogs right there during the gold rush right there. But then there was another one of these other ass scratching movies that they had. There's another film too, ladies and gentlemen, you know, brought to you by Hollywood once again, made back in 1949. It's a movie set in World War II entitled Home of the Brave. I forgot the name of the two white actors, but there was a black actor in that film by the name of James Edwards. They set in World War II, fighting in the jungles on an island, and so it's about eight of them in a military unit, and the brother, James Edwards, he's the only one, you know what I'm saying? He's like a fly in a pail of milk, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they call him the N-word, they disrespect him, put him down, you know, and it's pretty much of Hollywood's way of saying, you know, the crux of it, well, hey, black man and woman, you all ain't shit. Okay, so you pretty much get the general idea. But here's the part that pisses you off, as well as it should. There's a scene where James Edwards is in by himself, and he's remembering all the way how these white folk are mistreating him and what have you. He breaks down and starts crying. What the subliminal message of what he is sending is through his crying. He is not crying because they called him the N-word. He's not crying because they called him a coon. He's not crying because, you know, they called him a shine and any other derogatory stuff that they had for us. The man is sitting up there crying because he is not white, and this is the worst type of hatred that there is the hatred of self, and is sitting up there perpetuating that bullshit, right, just like that you had there in the movie The Imitation of Life. Two versions of it.
Right.
You know,
I got court-martialed in the military for hitting white people. They do some shit to me like that. They got to close their eyes. I'm the only one there.
Right.
They got to close their eyes, and I got a machine gun. Them motherfuckers never wake up.
Right. I would not. I'll tell you one thing. I would not be crying like
that's
that.
That's right. Now let's look at something else about Hollywood people. Is I find it very, very interesting is that here a great actor like Denzel Washington. Denzel goes out here, makes a film portraying, you know, one of the leading black icons of the 20th century. You don't give him an Academy Award for that, but you're going to give him an Academy Award for playing
what,
a crooked,
playing a
rogue ass.
And one way please, right. I think he was robbed.
Hey, that's just like Nellie Perry. He didn't get an award until she was the white man on TV.
I think he was Malcolm X.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is precisely my point. You see what I mean? You're not going to give him an Oscar for doing a great job of playing, you know, Malcolm X. But you're going to give him an Oscar for playing the role of a crooked rogue cop. You see what I mean? Yeah, do you see the perpetuation that you got going on here, people?
Yes.
And then keep in mind, do let me say this right here. This here is to the president of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences. This is to the mayor of the city of Los Angeles. For those of you in Hollywood that makes great profits off the disrespecting our image of melanated people, from the bottom of our hearts,
kiss
we got two
ass.
Things to say, which is to kiss our ass and that you are not appreciated. Okay, but also, too, I do want to say this here, is that picture that I have up there on my wall, you know, of the little baby panther, he told me is that he still wants his damn star out there on the Hollywood Walk of Fame right now. And also, too, he wants his palm prints up there, that daggone Chinese theater that's on Hollywood Boulevard and Orange Street, right across the street from the daggone Olive Garden restaurant, you see. So he wants his palm prints out there. Too. You see what I'm saying? So definitely, you know, I hope you cats are listening, but I'm quite sure that you're not, because you guys are busy focusing on one of your biggest nights of bullshit there in Tinseltown, commonly referred to as the Hollywood. But also to you, ladies and gentlemen. But okay, but based on, you know, what Mr. Moores was telling us about. Okay, Mr. Morris. Okay.
I gotta go back in there.
Yes,
sir.
Before
I go, okay? Yes, all right,
sir.
Now, I told you about my page, Unofficial Back to Basics. Okay?
Okay.
It's got a Black Panther cartoon on there where Black Panther beat the shit out of Captain America. Okay?
Oh, good.
Now, in the comment section of that cartoon is where the dude put that link to watch to get the Black Panther movie for free if you want.
That's my
other Facebook page, one of my other Facebook pages. All right, that there. It's there for y'all if y'all want it. I gotta go back to work.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right, Mr. Moss. Yeah, we definitely appreciate you giving us a call, man, and most definitely thank you for your input once again, sir.
All right, Black Power, y'all. Yep.
Good night.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, we're back here at Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced, and we're talking tonight Paul Robeson, Walt Disney, and Hollywood. Mm-hmm. We're discussing Black history in early Hollywood and in Los Angeles as well, too. And we also are having an open mic discussion about the Walt Disney movie Black Panther. And also, too, getting back to Paul Robeson, you know, who was a very, very good actor at that time during the Jigaboo era. He had made a couple of films, and then he refused to do films in Hollywood, and then he went back on the road on the stage and as a recording artist, but also too that he had was outspoken, and then too he was censored by the U.S. government, you know, of what he was speaking on as well too. And then also too in the 1950s, which is before, a little bit before my time, is that there are some black films there of where they're trying to, where you had like Ruby Dee, Isaac Davis, Sidney Poitier, and what have you, where they had made a couple of films. What was that they called, like A Raisin in the Sun? Then they made a musical in 1956 called Carmen Jones, and I believe, what's her name was in there, Dorothy Dandridge. Then, of course, you know, as we all know about Lena Horne and the Nicholas Brothers, not doing Stormy Weather in 1947 at that time. And then keep in mind, too, ladies and gentlemen, that during that time in Los Angeles' history, you know, black people were mainly concentrated up and down Central Avenue. And Central Avenue also had a hotel there that they had tore down in the last 20 years called the Dunbar Hotel. And in 1945, it was real popular in the 40s, the 50s, and this is where a lot of the top black entertainers, musicians, and movie actors like Sammy Davis Jr., Lena Horne, Red Fox, Fox, Ella Fitzgerald, and what have you, the Nicholas Brothers, you know, were had to stay there.
It's
because segregation in Hollywood was very, very real about their bigotry, you know, in Los Angeles at that time. Oh, yes, sir. So, let's see, the main streets that went straight south out of downtown Los Angeles near the Union Station Railroad Station were Central Avenue, San Pedro, and Avalon Boulevard, you see. And it was pretty much segregated, you know, like the Watts community at that time as well, too. And then, of course, we do know what happened in Watts there in 1965 in regard
now,
to the history of all that.
Can you tell us what happened?
Okay, in 1965?
In the Watts community.
In the
what? Oh, in 1965, ma'am, is where you had the Watts riot. That day where Marquette Fry was pulled over by the California Highway Patrol. A crowd had gathered around us because, from what I understand, Mr. Fry was drunk and that he had wanted to have somebody take the car a few doors down to his mother's house, and he was on his way to jail. But then a crowd had started gathering around this situation, and allegedly the California Highway Patrol showed up on the scene and they had started assaulting someone that allegedly that the Highway Patrol had said had spitted on them. So then they started beating on Fry. Then one thing led to another, and it was on. And then they had that classic line from the Watts ride from a radio DJ by the name of Montague in Los Angeles, who would say, "Burn, baby, burn." And they associated the term "burn, baby, burn" with the Watts riot of 1965, like they did with the situation in 92 in Los Angeles with the Rodney King case. No justice, no peace. And then from what I understand, that Montague, the DJ, lost his job for using that phrase, that it was his trademark prior to the Watts riot and what have you, you see. So you got to look at that. And then just like with Edgar Hoover had said in his counterintelligence program directives, it's just the mere organization of Negroes is a threat to national security. If it was the civil rights movement, rather it was the Black Panther Party, rather it was just some people in the community saying, hey, well, let's do something positive here instead of quit killing each other and start building with one another. This is the purpose of this podcast this evening, because here we got to do for ourselves. And like I said, you know, we're winding down into our last 20 minutes, but I just want to discuss briefly, people, is that if we can go out here and spend, like I said, $400-500 million in 3 days giving it there to Walt Disney, you know, to go see the film Black Panther, and from what I understand is getting rave reviews, you know, as our call-in guest, Mr. Morris, had mentioned earlier this evening, then surely we could take that same amount of money and do something positive in a constructive way to alleviate, you know, these social ills that we got going on in the major inner cities here throughout where we at, you know.
And get then, the DVD for $5, the bootleg cop.
For the homie in the parking lot right now. Yeah, anybody know where the
That's
homie is? You know, with the
about.
Movies? Yeah, where the homie at with the movies?
Yeah, but the not at the corner. Saying like
yeah,
five dollars,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, without a doubt. But also, too, as well as that during the 1960s, you had, you know, some black filmmakers. One of them was a guy by the name of Gordon Parks, who brought you the motion picture Shaft. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he directed a film called Superfly as well, too, there, you know, in the early 1970s. Yes, And then, and like I said about the motion picture Sounder at that time, that was made in the year 1972, you know, which was a pretty good film, but, you know, people wasn't going to see that at that time. People wanted to go see Coffee, The Mac, you know what I'm saying, all this redundant shit. you see. So hopefully, you know, the brother that directed the film Black Panther, you know, hopefully he'll go on and do something more positive. Definitely, I've been going to reinvest some of that money back off into the community. You know, start the damn breakfast programs again, you know, for the kids in the inner city. But also open up some vocational training centers so a lot of these young men can go out here and get them some skills and acquire them some jobs. And if you can't find a damn job, then you go out and create you one. You see, this
there
is the
go.
Stuff that they don't teach us in the public indoctrinating centers. The only thing they want to teach us is just go out here, learn criminalized behavior,
that's
to sit up there and get put off into the prison industrial complex. See, it's time to break
that syndrome.
See, that's that's a part of that post-traumatic slave syndrome. You see, this is why you still got so many of the ass scratches and the Yasa bosses, is because when Marcus Garvey had the Back to Africa movement, there were those that worked against him that were black. And from what I understand, W.E.B. Du Bois was one of them. And then from what I understand, that Marcus Garvey, you know, did make the statement was, he's saying is that he wasn't so mad at white people for putting him off in jail. It was these brain dead, ass scratching coons that sat up there and turned them in. You see, so this is why we got to look at the traditions that Sister Harriet Tubman laid down when she had launched the Underground Railroad, when she would say, okay, man, once you board this train, ain't no turning back. But as we all know, is that there was some coon, some brain dead house Negro who had to say, well, Miss Harriet, we got to get back there to mass and what have you. And from what I understand, that Sister Harriet had the street sweeper with her, and she was aiming at him, cocking, and tell him, look, fool, you got about 5 seconds to make up your mind. Either you're going to be free or you're going to be dead. You got about 5 seconds. I got a schedule to keep. You see what I mean?
Right.
And then, from what I understand about Sister Harriet Tubman, before her transition, was she had made a statement, well, you know, I freed 350 slaves. Just imagine how many more I would have freed if they would have realized that they were slaves. You see, Brother Malcolm had spoke about this his infamous speech about the field Negro and the house Negro.
And
of course, you know, the house Negro, when the master got sick, well, what's the matter, boss? He's still up there scratching his ass. Yasa boss, skinning and grinning, you know, the coon, the lawn jockey. You know, well, what's the matter, boss, the house is we sick, you see, boss, we sick, you see. So we got to break the shackle of the chain on our brain of this bullshit, is because, as you see, it's been perpetuated generation after generation after generation, you see. Now, you get these miseducated Negroes, as Carter G. Woodson, had mentioned, of how they perpetuate this miseducation. And as I've stated before many times on this podcast, I'll state it again. You keep these Negroes conditioned to going through the back door. If one is not there, then they'll open up and go through one, you know, themselves. You see what I mean? Yeah, so, you know, we got to definitely change the mindset on that as well, too. So, therefore, once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, coming to you here March 4th, 2018, from the San Joaquin Valley of Central California here this Sunday. And tonight's subject is ropes and Disney and Hollywood. Please give us a call at 646-564-9630 and press 1 to speak live on the air. Oh, yes, Brother Isaiah, that place is weird. It is very weird. You see what I mean? It is very, very weird. And then for those of you who are around in the 1970s, you know, that there's, like I said, back in my day, there was a group called The Miracles that made an album called The City of Angels. And what it is it's an album on there of a bunch of songs, you know, of this guy who goes to visit Los Angeles looking for his girlfriend and of all the stuff that he goes through, you see. And the main cut big hit off that record right there, if I recall, off that album in 1975 on Motown by the Miracles, was called Love Machine, you know, but they had other featured tracks on there as well, too. But check it out. Yeah, but Los Angeles, folks, is its own planet. But also, too, we all know another little bit about the history of Los Angeles, as that Los Angeles' first black mayor, Thomas Bradley, was also the first black lieutenant on the Los Angeles Police Department. And from what I understand that I've heard over the course of my lifetime of living there, is that he used to patrol Central Avenue, which was the hub of black business, black commerce there on Central Avenue, the black community going out there to watch. And he was definitely very, very abusive to the black community. So that there just goes to show you, you know, that there's all about. Very serious. Okay, very serious. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard that Tom Bradley, yeah, you know, he was no nonsense. And keep in mind, he was the first black lieutenant on the LAPD. And then just like the inventor, well, I'm not going to mention him. Just keep it moving. Okay, but anyway, though, too, is that in black Los Angeles, when, you know, the movies were being made and what have you, you did have a lot of films made by a guy by the name of Mashour, who did a lot of films on black life. And one of his big hits, from what I understand, that he made was called Cabin in the Sky. And I've never seen the film, but however, you know, there are those out there who are welcome to give us a call here, you know, to elaborate, you know, on that if they ever had seen it. And then, of course, too, I do recall that in the 1960s on television as a child is when you start seeing black actors being featured on weekly television series as well, too. Bill Cosby was one of them on a series called I Spy, where he co-starred with a guy by the name of Robert Culp. And then another series and another two black actresses, actually. One was by the name of Nichelle Nichols, and who played in on a series called Star Trek when it was coming on in prime time in the late 1960s. Okay, she was the one they referred to as Lieutenant Uhura. Okay, and then from what I understand, the first black woman to play in a leading role on a regular television series was Diane Carroll on a television series called Julia.
I've seen that one.
And they were all, and it was on NBC, you know, for Nichelle Nichols. Julia was NBC. I Spy was NBC as well, too. And then Bill Cosby, you know, had his work on NBC as well, too, because after he did I Spy, he did a couple of variety. He also had another weekly TV series that came on in the early 70s that I recalled. And, of course, he had another variety show shortly after that. And then, of course, we do know the show that he made in the 80s called The Cosby Show. But also, too, as we do know, Red Fox, you know, who was in the title role doing Sanford and Son. And didn't understand the reason why he quit the series is because he was always getting off into it, you know, about those who are non-black who tried to tell black actors about black culture and how they should be perpetuated. And then, too, I remember in the 70s that there was another television series called The Jeffersons, where you had that guy, that actor by the name of Sherman Hemsley, where he had portrayed a guy named George Jefferson. And then there was another series called Good Times, you know, with J.J. and Kid Dynamite and all that old stupid type of shit. But then the guy
John Amos
John Amos did say, yeah, Isaiah's right. He did leave the show, and they killed his character off because he got tired of, you know, of once again, the jigaboo, stupid, buffoonery-looking shit. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, but however, though, with the wealth that black people produce, okay, in addition to with the black athletes and now with the black whatnot, you know, shouldn't it seem to be that you ought to start pooling the resources, you know, for the melanated community to put our own people to work in that way?
They too busy kissing white people's kind pots.
That is true there too, Sister DeMacy. Yeah, you definitely are right about that. You see, so once again,
they're not thinking about
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, right. But once again, you know, this coon syndrome, you see, so how can we break? Because you got the post-traumatic slave syndrome. Yeah, exactly. You know, which came as a result of what Dr. Marimbi Ania talked about the Maafa due to the African Holocaust, okay? And as we all know, the Maafa is an experience so horrible that is beyond description, okay? Then, of course, you have those that drool in the mouth, like Brother Malcolm, you know, had said, you know, off this mindset. Then, of course, you got that of the sellout. You see what I mean? The sellout. See, so how do we, you know, deal with this mindset, you know, with that? But however, here we're off in our last 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, and you're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced coming to you. And I said we got a caller in here from area code 864, the last 47244. Yeah, thank you so very, very much for giving us a call there. Where are you calling from, and what's your name, and what's your comments, questions, and concerns?
What's going on? Peace, Brother Shabaka.
Hey, how you doing there, brother? Yeah, thank you for very, very much for calling in and joining us on our episode tonight of Ropes in Disney and Hollywood. And we're definitely having an open mic discussion about the Disney movie Black Panthers. Is a good thing, you know, positive on our black youth. In addition to, at the earlier part of our podcast, we had mentioned the great Paul Robeson and whatnot. And I'm sure you know about him, the brother who was, you know, in the 1950s, and they lifted his passport and wouldn't let him leave the country because, you know, he was an athlete. He was also to a lawyer, Columbia Law School graduate, and then, of course, that he was not too happy about how blacks were being depicted in Hollywood at that time. And then also, too, we're talking about the Walt Disney Movie Company that made the infamous Jigaboo movies, you know what I'm saying? You know, Uncle Rena's Zippity Doo Dah, Zippity Day, Scratching My Ass, I Got Plenty of Nothing, Nothing's Plenty for Me, you know, that type of good stuff, brother. So, what you got to say? What's on your mind, brother, in Kwani?
Well, I say the same thing I guess I say about sports and, you know, religion.
Right.
You know,
okay.
I guess either way it goes, we, you know, our people are somewhere around shucking and jiving. You know, you know, they're doing it in various forms to get a check. And, you know, I did go out and see the movie today.
Okay.
You know, with my children, they were wanting to see it.
Okay.
And I can say that it was a thing that the good part about it is that when, because the majority of our people, they going to watch TV anyway. Regardless if it's all black cast, all white cast, some black, some white, they going to watch TV anyway. So I will say this, that the level of programming that was in that movie, to me, it is a lot better than what you see in these cats, you know, Kevin Hart, Jamie Foxx, Tyler Perry running around, making it laugh, putting on a dress, and you know, doing this other stuff, you know. So I will say that, you know, even when it comes, you know, I'm not one of the ones that felt like Black Panther was the thing that was gonna save us. Just as like a lot of our people were, you know, they thought that Barack Obama was gonna save us when he got elected. But a lot of times, you know, the same people that were behind putting Barack Obama in office, if you, you know, trace the trail back, you see that those are the same people that, you know, had the dollars to put up this movie, Black Panther. So not all the time that we get a thing like this, we should just be overly excited. I feel like what we are able to do is see that we as black people were the ones that actually made that a box office hit. They're talking about pre-order sales, all this stuff. We as black people, we are the ones that encourage the anticipation. So I think that when we leave from the movie theater and go back into our communities, go back into our homes, that should show us the power that we have as a people to get things like this off of the ground and, you know, actually putting back those resources into our own people that a lot of times are struggling. You know, they're struggling artists. You know, you have some producers, and they can't get with Disney. They don't have a $100 million budget, you know. But I think that we should have the solidified commitment in supporting them as well, and not just saying, "Well, hey, if it's not a Marvel, if it's not a Walt Disney, you know, then I don't want to support it." There are plenty of black people out here that have, you know, lessons to be learned in some of the movies and some of the playwrights. Even in some of the music, you know, all of it is art. All of it is culture. So, you know, the thing that Paul Robeson and I think Muhammad Ali and James Brown and even going the modern day where LeBron James is utilizing his, you know, that white woman told him to shut up and dribble. You know, that's what he was all for. But he's utilizing his power, the fans that he has, to make a political statement. And I think that should be the main thing that we all are trying to achieve, is some sort of liberation and getting us somewhere where we can turn these types of shows on every day and it belong to us, where we ain't got to worry about no white man behind the scenes, or, you know, where it's all us doing it. So, you know, hopefully we can do something good from this, and it won't be something to put us back to sleep, brother.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I definitely there appreciate that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're winding down here off into our last few minutes. We're getting ready to go off here into overtime. So those of you that called in, please stay in tune. It's because in about 3 seconds we're going into overtime, and right now we're in overtime. So definitely stay in the queue to continue our conversation on for the closing comments. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all our listeners, you know, who are listening to us right now over the net around the world. We definitely appreciate all of our callers. Definitely give a shout out there to the one and only Mad Dr. D, our co-host and producer, you know, who wasn't with us this evening. I'm your executive producer and host, Shabaka Sankara. You can get in touch with me, you know, on Facebook at Shabaka Sankara, my page. You can also go to our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and definitely message us right there. We're definitely on Twitter as well, too. Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Twitter. Drop us in the search bar, and you will see our Twitter ID up there, Shabaka, BLKEXP. And that there is definitely us on that. So, any gentlemen, okay, Demacy, going to ask you if you got any closing comments, and we're going to turn on to Brother Isaiah, Brother Ikwanif, and see what y'all got to say, you know, closing it out for this evening.
No, nothing big. I can say, you know, I really enjoy your show. It gives us a chance to vent and get frustrations out and speak the truth and just learn from each other. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Okay, all right. Yes, sister, most definitely got you there. Okay, and also to Brother Ikwanif, you know, what's on your mind, man, your closing comments for tonight's podcast, and once again, what you were saying on the film Black Panther.
Well, basically, I think I was saying this last week, is that when we're doing all that we're doing, we shouldn't forget the education that we must have in order to see our, you know, way through the smoke, the smog that can sometimes get us confused. I will say that until this point today, we've had a lot of movements. I think they're talking about the Black Lives Matter movement is now promoting, you know, the homosexual agenda. And we do know with the LGBTQ agenda, I think they've added in a P or something for pedophiles, a PDO, something with pedo.
I remember they're
doing like the gay pride for kids. And they're teaching these children this because I asked one of my daughters today. She goes to school in Greenville. You know, they're teaching them about the transgender. And you have so many parents that are letting their children go out and say, well, it's okay to say that you want to be you're a boy and you want to be. And they're trying to promote this type of shit as being normal. Knowing that the main reason that we are falling off as a people is because we don't have a sense of self-education, and that self-education isn't one that is reflective inside our families that are sustainable, that are working through. So I would just encourage all of us to encourage each other, encourage ourselves to keep on moving forward. And before we can, you know, see the forest, we're going to have to actually see the trees and see the smaller things within the forest, you know. So before we win the war, we definitely have to get a stronghold on the battles. So we've been doing it for a long time, Brother Shabaka and family. So I encourage all of us to get serious on it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, without a doubt. And also, too, Brother Equine, if you haven't said this here, is that we're also going to be having a weekly series entitled presented by Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced called Resurrection of the Mental Dead. And that there's going to be an hour show, and people are welcome to call in and drop knowledge, you know, benefiting, you know, the community, the black family unit, and black economics. Yeah, so that's why it's called Resurrection of the Mental Dead, you know, to get us up out of this post-traumatic slave syndrome. And wake us up.
You're right.
And I want to apologize to Brother Shabaka for last week.
Yes, sir.
That brother, going back and forth. But hey, man.
Yes, sir.
That cat, he is quite a disruption at times, man. So like I said, I want to apologize to you and, you know, to your listening audience and to the main man, Dr. D. So, but I don't like people speaking illy about me or speaking negatively about me or saying things that aren't true.
Yes, sir.
I might have to appoint them. So I apologize. But...
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. That was you. I'm going to tell you if that was you, you didn't pass that.
And that's why Mr. Quatney, you know, prior to this podcast this evening, we have the PG rating tonight, you know, because when we go uncensored, you know, it gets a little heated here. You know. Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, you know, but however that is pretty much about it. We're definitely there, you know, appreciate you there saying that there, Mr. Quatney. Yeah. So, you know, we're definitely going to, you know, let it be known, you know, we understand. And we've been through a lot, you know. We as a people, ladies and gentlemen, are in a state of emergency. But if we're going to have a disagreement, please, let's try to disagree agreeably, because you could best believe that when it comes down to it, any other group of people out there to say their asses, they're going to put their disagreements to the side to save themselves. But for some odd reason, you know, we got it bass backwards, man, you know what I'm saying? And that there's that post-traumatic slave syndrome, that ass-scratching, yasa-bossing, Kool-Aid bullshit that you always hear me talk about and crumb bomb on, you know, on social media, and we'll continue to do it. And then also, too, I'm going to mention melanatedpeople.net. You know, I'm going to suggest that our folks get up over there as soon as possible. I already got a page over there, Shabaka San Corral, up there at melanatedpeople.net. Also, too, asking the whole melanated community to go on and do it is because, you know, they need the support. From what I understand, is black controlled and black owned. They won't be censored like these mainstream social media, you know, is done. And then I'm seeing people there on my friends list who are constantly getting blocked on a regular basis. I see people who they're pulling followers away from. They're blocking, you know, all the stuff that we share with this bullshit, attachment unavailable and all that. So why are we just going to make a mass exodus? Oh, yeah, let's go on and make a mass exodus over there to melanatedpeople.net. You know what I'm saying? Because let's look at some dynamics here, people. We gave Walt Disney the majority of that $1 billion there for the film Black Panther. You trying to tell me, folk, that we cannot take that same amount of money and reinvest it back into ourselves for our future generations?
Because
that's all we got.
Yeah.
Yes, right. Sir, absolutely. And then, hey, and then people, you know, let's try to get us some real estate over there directly across the bay for where the real Black Panther Party was born 50 years ago over there in Silicon Valley.
Right.
See, see, that's the key four factors of production: land, labor, capital, and risk management. We have to emphasize this here on our youth. And then also, two people, I'm going to say this here, and then we're going to sign off. Abigail Disney, one of the heiresses to the Disney fortune, I did a video, and I'm just paraphrasing her, not quoting her, stating that for people like her, that Trump's tax cut for big business allows them to keep 80% of their money. And so therefore, she was saying is that's not good to the middle class and below her. So I don't know what other stuff that she was going on. But keep in mind is that 80% of that billion that they're approaching is that the Disney family gets the key, okay? So let's come up with some innovation of how we could take that $400 million that we spent on the film, giving it to Walt Disney, who made the Jigga Boo movies and Daffy Duck, Donald Duck, and all that other goofy shit over there, you know, down there in Los Angeles in the 40s and whatnot, and let's just acquire us some land, acquire us some agriculture to do for ourselves. Is because, once again, people, everybody's getting money up off of us except us. Something is very, very wrong with that. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I definitely appreciate you all giving us a call in here to Shabaka's Black Experience. So we're going to end our show tonight by Mr. Wes Montgomery, Bumping on Sunset. And that's Bumping on Sunset, Sunset Boulevard. Yeah, that same one out there in Hollywood. Everybody had a nice night, and thank you so very much for calling in.